Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
Hello, and welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast. I am your host, Mark Griffin. Today, I'm excited to introduce our guest, Herbie Newell. Herbie is a president and executive director of Lifeline Children's Services and its ministry, ARMS. He holds a master's of business administration and accounting from Sanford University. Before joining Lifeline as executive director in 2003, Herbie spent several years working as an independent auditor for WAKM Companies, LLC, a prominent accounting firm. Under Herbie's leadership, Lifeline has increased an international outreach to 25 countries, grown into 18 states, attained membership with ECFA, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. We're so excited to speak with Herbie today as we navigate the topic, Encouragement for Work Through Adoption Assistance. Welcome, Herbie. Herbie, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about your background?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Mark, at a very early age, I really did feel like the Lord was leading me into some type of ministry with my career. And so as I started to pray about that and seek counsel, the first counsel that I received was that I needed to go get a business degree and that seminary could always be tacked on to the end. But really with the importance of no matter if I went into church work or any other type of ministry work, that business was what really needed to be done to organize any institution, any organization. And I would say it's been a gift of God, the background in accounting, the background in business. When I was getting my undergrad degree, I met my wife, Ashley, and she knew exactly what the Lord was calling her to do, and that was to serve within the context of a crisis pregnancy center. And so as we prayed together, dating and then engaged, we saw her actually fulfill that job right out of graduating from Sanford University in Birmingham. She became the assistant director of a crisis pregnancy center. And so as I was serving in accounting and doing student ministry on the side, she was working with women going through unplanned, crisis, unexpected, unwanted pregnancies and leading them to the hope of life, but also the hope of the gospel. But it put a conflict within us about what else can we do for these women? Because just helping them see them give birth to their child, that was gorgeous and it was needed, but we also needed to see them thrive and flourish. And so the question that really the Lord began to put on our heart and to ponder for us is, what happens to this child? What happens to this woman after she's given birth? And through that, the Lord brought us to Lifeline Children's Services, as you said, in December of 2003. And it really has been that whole idea of through adoption, orphan care, foster care, globally, in education and counseling, how do we help women and children thrive on the other side of their pregnancy?
Sure, sure. It's a beautiful story. It's beautiful that your wife and yourself are walking this journey together. It's incredible that God's equipped you both for these times. And I'm just really excited about your MBA, Herbie, as well, because, you know, the Lord spoke to me as well in human resources to, you know, fully understand human resources. I got an MBA, and that's made a phenomenal impact on my career in the last 25 years because, like you, I can understand finance and marketing and all the different aspects of business. And, you know, God calls us all to be in the marketplace to do our work. So I love your background because it gives you strong abilities in the financial areas. Lots of people are very excited about our conversation today, Herbie. There's many people in my life that have gone through in vitro, they've gone through adoption. And one thing that our firm has done as we, you know, go into 2024 is try to bring encouragement instead of negativity. We had so much negativity in 2023. We want to bring encouragement. So I wanted to talk to you today about adoption assistance, putting that in place as an HR benefit. You know, how can we do that? But I just had a couple questions I wanted to ask you to kind of help our listeners in understanding adoption. You know, what's the current wait time? If there's a couple that wants to adopt a child, you know, we're hearing 3 years, 5 years, all different types of waiting times. What's the waiting time, Herbie?
Yeah, Mark, I'd say, you know, when you look at all the different types of adoption, 3 years is probably a pretty good general waiting time to talk about average. And certainly that can be less, it could be a little bit more. There's three specific type of adoptions that U.S. families could explore. The first, which is where those wait times tend to be a little bit longer, is domestic infant adoption. And so typically, especially with Lifeline's ministry, that's where a family is chosen by a birth mother to parent the child that's within her womb. And because the birth mothers, from Lifeline's perspective, and really a lot of organizations' perspective, are choosing the families, that's where it's not necessarily a first in, first out sure. type of a thing. It does take a little bit longer, and that time frame is a little bit less pronounced. I think the second type of adoption that most U.S. families enter into is intercountry adoption. And within intercountry adoption, it's a little bit more predictable. Again, not predictable, but a little bit more predictable, because a lot of these countries have their time frames, they have their estimates, they know there are children that need families. And so they can pretty much tell you it's a paperwork process. And as soon as your paperwork is finished, then you know, for the most part, when that child's going to come home. So for most countries, you're looking at the range from about 14 months to about 18 months. So intercountry adoption can be a little bit shorter. Certainly, we've seen some global insecurity that has rocked that a little bit with sure. COVID-19 in 2020. What's going on with China and Haiti and Ukraine and intercountry adoption has certainly slowed those processes down.
And I know some countries have stopped allowing Americans to adopt their citizens. With that being 14 to 18 months, is that for an infant or is that for a child maybe in an orphanage? Does that change? Or is that for an infant, 14 to 18 months?
Yeah, for intercountry adoption, at this point, we're mostly seeing kids from the point of about 18 months and up. So we're not seeing very many infants. Okay. And a lot of sure. it is because, you know, they have to go through the adjudication process. We have to make sure that they're truly without parents. And then the third type that most U.S. families would look at would be adoption from foster care. And these are typically older children. And that process can be much quicker, and it can take anywhere from, I'd say, about 10 months to 24 months. So sure. a little bit less than 2 years.
Well, thanks for clarifying that, Herbie. That will help many people out. So the second area is the area of finances. I've heard people say, well, I can't do adoption. I just don't have the cash. I don't have the money. And I heard somebody say, well, you know, it could be $50,000 to do adoption. What's some figures realistically that people can pray about and think about when it comes to adoption and costs?
Yeah, I think you want to be careful on a domestic infant adoption that you're looking at a reputable organization that is duly licensed by their state and is acknowledged by their state to be a child placing agency. And when you look at those child placing agencies, typically, and again, knowing that we're looking at all 50 states, cost of living is different and the costs are different, you're looking at an average, I would say, of about $25,000 to about $35,000 for domestic infant. Again, if you're using a child placing agency that's licensed by their state,
sure.
that number can go up if you work with a private attorney or with someone who's helping you find a mom, which we would sure. call a facilitator. Mm-hmm. Intercountry adoption, because of the travel that's related, it is a little bit more costly. And I would say it's pretty much from about $32,000 to about $44,000. And again, I know it's a large range, but sure, depending upon the complexities of each of those. And then for foster care adoption, you're really only looking at the legal expense. Sure. You're looking only about $5,000 to $7,000 for foster care out of adoption. So that cost is definitely below $50,000, but it does range depending upon the program that a family would enter into.
On the circumstance, sure. And that does make sense that if you need a facilitator to help find a woman who's making that tough decision to allow a family to adopt, I can see some added expenses. So it sounds like definitely not over $50,000, maybe closer to $30,000. But if the listeners have it in their heart to adopt a child that's, you know, 5 years old or 6 years old or is in the foster care system, be an incredible blessing for that child. And with that blessing comes a lower cost to the family to do that. So that's really great information. Then the other question is, we look at this as, wow, you know, there's going to be a need. We have all these children, but is the issue greater internationally or is the issue greater domestically, in your opinion? More of a curiosity question for people, you know, as they navigate it.
I certainly don't want to be elusive. I would definitely say, though, it depends, right?
Sure.
I think it depends on a lot of what that family is called to. If they are called to care for a woman in crisis, the need is great domestically. And I know we hear that there are more families waiting than there are kids available. But I also think there's a great need for domestic infant adoption, especially when it comes to standing in the gap for many of these women who maybe have medically frail pregnancies or who have a child that's been diagnosed with Down syndrome or Turner syndrome, and to say, hey, we, if you choose life, we're here on the other side waiting to adopt. Obviously, the need is ginormous when it comes to foster care adoption. But again, those are older children. Intercountry adoption, what I would tell you, Mark, is at any given point, there are millions and millions of children waiting on families. But then there are a lot of complexities with intercountry adoption as well. So what my counsel would be, where's the Lord calling you? What do you feel equipped to? And what do you feel like you're able to do? Because there is a need in all three areas. Really, the question is, how have you been equipped to meet that need?
Thank you, Herbie. Thank you. Yes. And that's a beautiful answer. And I think we all need to explore our heart and ask the Lord, what are you calling us to do, Lord? Not what we're being called in the flesh. And our default would be, yes, let's get an infant. And this is how we want to do this. And we want this infant to be a part of our lives from the very beginning. But I know there's some people out there as well that see the need for the older children. We know, I've been to orphanages all over the world, and I know the plight of the orphan, and it's heartbreaking. So if there are listeners out there that feel like, well, I really do want an infant, but now they're being tugged in another direction, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to navigate where the Lord's calling you to do adoption. So that helps out quite a bit. So I'd like to segue in for the next couple minutes. How can we help our listeners develop a program internally to their companies? So we have Christian for-profit organizations, leadership that listens to our podcast, but we also have Christian higher ed, like colleges, seminaries. We have wonderful ministries. And, you know, many of them, as we were doing the research for this topic, many of them aren't offering this as a benefit. And we thought, wow, wouldn't this be great instead of being, you know, bringing this topic up, you know, with what's going on in the media being negative, let's bring it up as a positive perspective and stand in the gap, like you said. So let's explore, how could we do that? What would your suggestions be for people that would want to put a program in place?
Yeah, I would say three things. And the first thing I would say is giving the same adequate leave to a family that is adopting that you would to a mom who is postpartum. And so looking at how do we extend the opportunity for that family, not just to potentially travel internationally, but even after they've brought that child home, to really be able to attach and to bond. That bonding and attachment time is huge.
And I have to pause you for a second because I have to put my HR hat on. You're exactly right. That's a great point, because the Family Medical Leave Act, what a lot of people don't understand is that's really for the medical condition. Mm-hmm. Now, the woman who's adopting doesn't have the medical condition.
That's right.
Because she didn't have the child. So she needs time to bond with the baby. So that is a great opportunity. And it's a hole, I believe, in a lot of absenteeism programs and leave programs and everything else, that you could write it that if you're adopting, you get time off. That's brilliant, Herbie. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And Mark, you know, it's a huge need to actually see these employees be able to bond and attach with their child, which will make them be more productive in the future. So it's not just a benefit to your people, it's a benefit to your company to allow that mom and that child to be able to bond and have the same attachment that she would if she had given birth. I think then the second thing that you can do is really be mindful of employees who are dealing with infertility.
Sure.
And so having programs, wellness programs, other opportunities to help them really be able to find the support they need in journeying through infertility, giving information on adoption, giving information on fertility treatments, helping them know even how their benefits maybe help them access some medical fertility treatment. I think that's a huge thing that you can do for your people, realizing that probably, even with a small company, you have a greater percentage of couples that are dealing with infertility.
You really do. You do. And many people have that issue. I have close friends that have those issues, and it is very, very expensive. And, you know, our first call as believers is to love those around us. And we should be providing kingdom-related benefits to our employees. And the more we love the employees and the families that work for us, the greater return we're going to get. There's times when I was raising my own children where I would have a difficult time at work and come home and say, you know, I had a really tough day. And my son would remind me, no, you work for a great company. I've been to your company, Dad. They care about you and they care about me. And I've gone to events, Dad, there that where they care. So when the company or the ministry or the college loves the family and shows it through the benefits, it really does give great returns back. And especially in today's tumultuous times, with all the Christian for-profit businesses, which there's an incredible amount of them in the United States, you know, my perspective is sometimes the only Christian that employees will see could be the ownership or some of the other employees, because people aren't at church. So it's great to provide those benefits. So we just have about a minute in closing, Herbie. Would you like to give some encouragement to our listeners and provide any resources? Thank you.
Yeah. And so the third thing I was going to say, though, is adoption support and helping your families be able to afford adoption. I think the upfront cost is really where the need is to help them get started in that journey, which goes along with the infertility help as well. If folks would like to get in touch with us, you can always go to lifelinechild.org. We've got a lot of the resources we've talked about in an FAQ that will help answer these questions in even more detail at lifelinechild.org. And you can also look us up on most of the major socials at Lifeline Child. And I would tell you, employer, Christian business owner, Christian university owner, you know, there is something we can do. We're not all called to adopt. We're not all called to be foster parents. Nope. But we can equip our people who are called and who are equipped and be able to breathe life into them and come alongside of them and support them. And in so doing, we affirm the pro-life values that we hold so dear.
This is wonderful, Herbie. You've been a great guest. And I want to reaffirm to the listeners as well on Herbie's last point, as you put the program together, reach out to Herbie's team, ask them for guidance. Get in prayer about the benefits. Talk to your HR people. Talk to your employees. Seek wise counsel. Talk to your CFOs. Talk to your accounting firms. Talk to anybody that in the area that's helping you with your medical benefits, with all of your benefits. Just seek the help, because you can put programs in place like this. If you need help, reach out to our firm as well. Herbie, you've been a great guest. Would love to have you back in a year or so, check in with you and let you know how impactful this podcast has been, because I know there's many people that are going to benefit from this. So God bless you and have a great week. Bye-bye now.
God bless you, Mark. Thank you.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by Job Shepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to Job Shepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. Job Shepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.